Good morning. Good morning. You guys well? You guys gentle? You guys are quiet? I'm good, thanks. Good, thanks. Hey, Mike, how's it? Yo, thanks, Mike. I think Mike for leading us in worship. That's beautiful. We love you. And Maya, well done for Maya's 15, eh? And such a cool one of God on your life. And it's really, I trust that you just keep on going. Keep going, eh? It's scary to get up in front of 250 people and sing. I don't know when last you tried that. It is scary every time. And so keep encouraging one another as these guys get on stage. And God is doing a beautiful thing. It's not about the professionals on here. It's about Jesus, about worship. It's about, as a family, we get together. And I'm excited this morning. Just meet around Jesus. So one day, we're going to meet our Maker. You guys are aware of that? Hey, 2 Corinthians tells us that one day we're going to meet our Maker, Jesus. Luke, can you come stand here? Quick stand. This is Luke, guys, the legend. So this is one day we're going to meet this point in our life. And when we get there, Jesus is going to, it says we're going to be judged, okay? Some will perish and some will find life. We're not here yet. Stay standing. We are currently here. Alex, come stand here. So we are currently here. We are running this race set before us. He's in a way, he's Jesus. Yes. He's waiting for us on the other side. But it says, for John 3:16 explains to us, for those who God so loved the world, so that whoever believes will receive eternal life and will not perish. So we got this. At the end of the day, we're going to get there. Some will have life and some will perish. But for those who believe, okay? But we've got this whole thing ahead of us. And there's a way to get there. It's not just any way. So if you read Matthew 7:13, it says, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. So if you look around you, many are walking on the wide road, but, verse 14, small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. So we've got this narrow road, this narrow the way from getting from where we are currently in this life. We want to reach Jesus one day. So can I quickly ask, who of you guys want to get here one day? Hopefully everyone. It's everyone's hands up. But that's just like where you put your hand up. And then God is going to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. But there's a way to get there. So, and as church leaders, our job is to train you. So Ephesians 4, verse 11, 12 says, we are to train you. Our responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. We want to help you get there. Who wants to get there? Hallelujah. I felt like someone didn't put up their hand. We're going to help you guys. If you didn't put up your hand, so we want to run this race set before us. We want to get there one day. We want to know that we reach the end. The great thing is, Alex really wants to... Alex, keep standing a little bit, man. Come on, man. So Jesus said he's building his church. I will build my church. And even the powers of hell will not prevail against it. So the whole idea of church is not for you and I to come on a Sunday and make this chair warm. But it's for me and you, and we're going to get into that a little bit this morning, but for you and me to learn how to walk this way better and well, so that by the end of the day, we can take as many as we can with us. You know, I want to take Lorna, but I don't just want to take Lorna with. I want to take her cousin with and her aunt. And I want to take Georgia with and her. Do you have a brother? Come on, I want to take Georgia's brother. We want to take as many as we have with us, so that one day when we get to heaven, we don't just go like, okay, I made it, but we made it. Hallelujah. Okay, you guys can sit now. So that's what we want to talk about today, is getting from where we are to our destiny. We want to get there, and we want to hear Jesus say, well done, well done. Not like, phew. So success in church is not about just the numbers. It's not about getting the numbers in here. Because if we wanted that, we would have hired musicians. Get the best preachers on the stage. Put a smoking machine right in the corner. We would definitely get better chairs. My goodness, this stuff is so uncomfortable that it reminds you of you better keep running this race. So we would have done all these things. And then you get people, they get comfortable. It feels like a movie. Where's the popcorn? All you need is a popcorn. But it's not about that. It's about each one of us being active and effective. Not just active, not just busy, I'm busy, but effective, active and effective in the church, in the kingdom of God. Paul actually says it like this: I strive to take hold of the call of God. I don't just wait for it. It's not like waiting on the world to change. No. I strive to take hold of God. But there's a problem. There is a problem. We've got a bit of a challenge here. Is many of us have been taught other stuff. You guys aware of that? It's like for me, I grew up very me-centered Christianity. It was about my righteousness. And I've really felt righteous at a stage in my life. that was bad. Oh my goodness. Guys, I'm 41 now. I spent time with Jesus since I was 8 years old. Every morning, read my Bible. You know, if you do that for 10 years straight and you turn 18, you feel good. But I had to get to a stage where I had to realize that I have no righteousness apart from Jesus. That was my first revelation I needed. Second revelation I needed, and that's what we're going to push into today, is that righteousness I received from Jesus, that right standing, that life I received from Jesus is not for me, but it's for the guy next to me. That was a massive adjustment. All the introverts say amen. No, there can't be so many introverts. My goodness, everyone said amen. No, but it's such a massive such a massive adjustment for us to start living for the person next to us. That it is an adjustment for each one of us, because this is probably the biggest struggle we all have, is we want to live for ourselves. Hey, come on. Who doesn't want to live? Who doesn't want to be happy? Who doesn't want to be rich? We naturally just want to feel good. We want to be comfortable. We want that nice couch. We want the music to be like we like it. We want the people to be quiet when we want them to be quiet. We want them to be noisy if you like noise. I like noisy sometimes. But it's to break out of what I want. So we need to be adjusted. And like Andrew started this morning, there's going to be change. So we see this guy in the New Testament. His name was Apollos. And Apollos preached really well. Really, really well. He was a guy in the ministry, he preached so well that there was a bit of like a problem. Paul actually had a stage here to say, some of you guys say I'm from Apollos, some of you say I'm from Paul. But he says, no, it's about each gift working properly. And we need each gift among us. And we see in Acts 18 verse 26, now, this is a couple, Aquila and Priscilla. They've been on Paul's apostolic team at that stage, and they heard him preach. Now, this guy has been preaching well. He's been preaching boldly. And it says they had to take him aside and explain the way of God even more accurately. So we've got a bit of a challenge sometimes. We know things, but often and more than often that we realize we actually need to know it a little bit more accurately. Some of us, sometimes we just need little adjustments. But are you open to be brought in a little bit more accurately on this narrow road to find Jesus so that we don't miss him? Andrew Selly often said, if we're 1 degree off here, if you take it 5 kilometers down the road, how far are you going to be off? Massive. You think you're just, it's fine, I'm just a little bit. No, a little bit is a lot. So Proverbs 14 verse 12 says, there's a way that seems right to man, but its end is, heavy duties, eh? So we think we are right. The guy upset me. No, I think I'm right because he upset me. What does Jesus teach? You can say. Yeah, forgiveness, that's good. Mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Every time. So we want to live the way of Jesus. So I want to share a little story in 2 Samuel 1. Alex, can we have you again? So this is King Saul. He was the first king of Israel. You guys remember the story? So if you don't know, but anyway, I'll tell it to you now. So this king was a large king. That's why we've got Alex here. He was big, was the very first king of Israel. He just died. Sorry, bro. He just died. Then we had David. Can we have a David here? So David, the Lord anointed David as a young man. He's going to be king of Israel. And so David is kind of, for the last several years, King Saul has been hunting this guy because he didn't like him. He was actually trying to kill him. But the Samuel, the prophet, has prophesied that this guy is going to be the next king of Israel. So on his very last battle, this guy realizes King Saul is going to die. And he saw that the enemy is going to take him, the Philistines. And he saw his armor bearer, said, armor bearer, please kill me. I'm not going to make it. And his armor bearer was too scared. So he took his own sword, fell on it, he died. His armor bearer did the very same thing. So in 2 Samuel 1, we see this Amalekite. He found King Saul dead. He took his crown and his armband. The emblems of authority, of royalty, and of rulership. He took it from the king, and he went to King David. And he said, we can read it there, but I'm not going to read it now. So you can take it off. You can take it to verse 13, actually. He took it to King David, and he explained to him, I saw the king, and he was about to die, and he asked me to kill him. And I killed him, basically. The Amalekite, he twisted truth. And in that moment, David asked him in verse 13, he said to the young man who had brought the news, where are you from? And he replied, I'm a foreigner and a Amalekite who lives in your land. So this Amalekite, he was a part of a different tribe, became part of God's people, but he didn't understand God's ways very well. He ended up twisting the truth, and he grasped for favor with the king and end up, listen, verse 14, yes, why are you not afraid to kill the Lord's anointed? David asked, and David said to the one of his men, kill him. So the man, it's not funny, but it is a little bit like, wow, this guy just got executed right there. Thanks, you can sit. So we got, so the challenge is often when we think, we see potential, we see opportunity in life, but it ends in death. Often, we get the guys in Acts chapter 4, the two guys lying to the Holy Spirit, they end up dead. So we wanna be a people who go, Lord, we wanna get from here fully to our calling. We wanna run this race and we wanna do it accurately as much as we can. So I wanna give us like three ways how we can keep ourselves in the way of God. Three ways today. But first we look at those three ways. I wanna remind us of who we're doing this with. And just a couple of verses from the scriptures. So Jesus died. He rose again. He stood on the mountain. He was about to go up to him. And he said, now go and make disciples. He also told his disciples to go wait in the upper room. So we see the very first church being birthed through the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 1. Very first church. Before that, there wasn't church. There were synagogues and priests, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The first church was birthed. Acts 2, we see God adding 3,000 people to his church. And we start to see this, the fruit of the church in Acts 2, verse 42 to 47. And it shows us what church looks like in the New Testament. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching. They devoted themselves to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. I'm going to skip through to, verse 46. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. So we see this in the last line, and the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. So we see the first church, they devoted themselves. Day after day, they were meeting in homes. Day after day, they were eating together. Day after day. So church was never supposed to be a Sunday, I'm sitting down, meeting. Maybe Wednesday thing. What was it supposed to be? A day-to-day thing. And as they grow, they went out into, remember, disciple the nations. So they went out into the nations, and we don't have to put the verse up, but in Acts 14, we saw after Paul got saved, they appointed elders in every church, in every town. They committed them to the Lord in whom they put their trust. And then as we started off earlier in Ephesians 3, we saw that now these leaders and these pastors would then start to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. So it's not that we get saved so that we just can reach the end, but it's so that you and I can be in ministry. So technically, each of us now are full-time in ministry. Each one of us. We're absolutely, thank you, Liz, absolutely full-time in ministries. Listen to this, Ephesians 2, verse 19. So now you, Gentiles, which are us because we weren't Jews, are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. Together, can we just say that? Together. Together we are his house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and the cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself. We are carefully joined together in him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. Through him, you and us, our Gentiles, are being made part of this dwelling where God lives by his Spirit. So as you and I join church, we are being carefully joined together, literally like stones. Peter explains, I'm not going to open that verse now, but Peter explains if you want to make notes, 1 Peter 2, 5 and 9, and it says we are living stones built into the very temple. And that temple, God starts to dwell in us. This was a big adjustment for me. I always thought God was fully in me. I literally thought so. No, God is in a way fully in me. It's not like he has split personalities and now he's there and there and there. But the mystery, Paul explains in Ephesians, is that as each one of us are being carefully joined together, God dwells in us as a temple. Maybe for a moment, just look around you. You can turn your neck. Don't hurt it. I know some of us are over 30, so you're like, be careful. Be careful. Some of us don't know each other very well, and that's fine. But God has a plan to pull us together, to join us together. And as we are joined together, I want to read us this verse. Ephesians 4, verse 16. Can we read that verse? He makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. And as you do your special work, it helps the other parts grow. So as I do my bit, you grow. And as you do your bit, I grow. So I need you to do your bit. I'm going to say that again. I need you to do your bit. So if Michael, for example, takes a holiday for 6 months from doing his bit, I'm not saying a holiday like, it would be amazing, eh? 6 months holiday, sounds good. But if Michael takes a six-month holiday of doing his bit in God's church, in his kingdom, what happens? There are other parts that are missing out. That's encouraging, by the way. That means it's not that we don't get to rest, because we can talk about the rest. God says my yoke is not easy. My burden is not light. It's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my spirit, says the Lord. My yoke is easy. I'm English second language, by the way. If my tenses fail me, forgive me. I love you guys. Thanks, Nick. Yes. So as each one of us do our bit, we grow. Say, as each one of us, as each one of us do our bit, we grow. If we don't do our bit, we don't grow. That's simple maths. 1 + 1 = 2. 1 - 1 = 0. So we're constantly adding. Come on, guys. So Galatians 6 verse 10, listen to this. Do good to everyone, but especially to those in the household of faith. There's a special calling that you've got right here in this household that you don't have out there. To become part. You are literally a part. You are a member, like this leg, like your leg. You can look at your leg. Don't look at mine. But like this arm, like this part, like this ear, you are part. You are not here just to listen to the word, to sing a few songs, to attend Wednesday night. You are here to learn how to do works of ministry. Come on. So we're not going to go. Some of you guys have amazing gifts, administrative gifts, prophetic gifts, pastoring gifts, evangelistic gifts, hospitality gifts, teaching gifts. What other gifts? Worship, singing, serving, giving. Oh, and you do all these gifts, but together it becomes the fullness of Jesus. Listen to this. Ephesians 3 verse 10 is the last one, and then we look at the things that we want to do. Ephesians 3 verse 10 says, and it's through the church. God's purpose in all this was to use the church to display his wisdom in its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was his eternal plan. It's through the church, guys. So as Luke and I and each one of us starts to find our place in the church as living stones, we are being built together. God starts to dwell within us, and then his presence is among us, and then there's life. So that guy that's annoying you at com, He's just rubbing you a little bit, bro. He's literally just rubbing you a little bit. That stone, it's making you smoother. It's making you more beautiful. Come on. Who has a guy? Don't put your hand up. Don't put your hand up. So I want a quick look. I've totally forgot to put my timer on, by the way. I'm starting now. So we're going to look quickly at three things. What time is it? Okay, we're doing well. We're going to quickly look at three ways, just three ways, how we can, as a church, keep growing from where we are into our calling, giving God all the glory. Come on. Three ways. And the first one is we want to be teachable. Now, if we're very honest, if I ask each one of you, are you teachable? What will you say? Of course. Are we all teachable? I heard actually someone acknowledge that surely we can't all be teachable. Huh? So I want to give us a biblical perspective on teachability. Is that right, Nick? Is that a nice word? Teachability. That sounds good. Come on. So we want a biblical view on teachability. Let's turn to Acts 17, verse 11. I just want to quickly say, the aim of teaching is not to brainwash you, but to help you see it for yourself. It was God's plan, remember? God gives the leaders, and their job is to equip. Their job is to train, to advance, and to restore the church to its full glory so that we give God the glory. But we see in Acts 17, listen to this, and the people of Berea, this is the NLT, yeah. So this is usually when the NIVs, you will see the noble Bereans, okay? Were more open-minded than those in Thessalonica. I thought it's all about the heart. God sees my heart. No. Paul commends these guys for being open-minded, and they listen to this, eagerly. Can we do this NIV version as well? Quickly, how difficult is it? It's not too difficult. That sounds like a yes there. And they listened eagerly to Paul's word. And it says, and then they searched the scriptures day after day to see what Paul said was true. Now, the Bereans were of more noble character than the Thessalonians. Why? For they received the message with great eagerness. And then they examined the scriptures every day to see of what Paul said was true. Now, this is true biblical teachability. Can I say something? You cannot receive the word of God from anyone if you don't receive it first with eagerness and then check it with the scripture. Are you guys aware of that? I've experienced it so many times. If there's a spirit of criticalness that sometimes comes at you, and you're like, oh, what about that? So if I put up a verse, then you think your brain goes there, and you're like, what about this? What about that? There's no way to help people if they don't first receive it with eagerness and then go test it with the scriptures, and not with your YouTube teacher. Let's be honest. It's a good crowd here today. Not with ChatGPT. Ooh. All the young guys go like, oh, come on. Now I have to read my own Bible. Not with TikTok. Or Instagram. But with the scriptures. Remember, the heart of it is for you to see it for yourself. But you won't be able to see it unless you first receive it and then go check it with the scriptures. And I've been here for 14 years in Josh Jane. Phil, you've been here for 20-something years. Some of you guys have been here for long. The one thing that we've always and always strived for is to stick to the scriptures. And if someone sees anything in the scriptures that's opposite to what we are teaching, please speak to us. Please. We want to lay down. We're not here to teach our opinion and our thoughts. We want to open the Bible. We want to teach that very simply. But for us to walk together, from where we are today into the fullness of what God has for us, so that one day Jesus comes back for a beautiful bride, a beautiful church, we're going to have to learn to be more teachable. Learn to receive from one another. Even that guy in your comm. Again, don't put up your hand if you got someone in your comm. Like, but we want to receive from one another. Do we have that picture that I sent? So we got, as some of you guys have probably seen this picture. This is a lady. Her name is Adele. She's a singer in America. Now, this is pretty, some of you guys might have seen this picture. So this is Adele. You guys know her. Now, she looks pretty normal, like she usually looks. But if you turn your head, you will start to see, it looks quite interesting. Can you rotate it from where you are? The problem with us as people, this is called the Thatcher effect, by the way. The Thatcher effect. That our brains, when we look at things, we have a big picture view of things, and we think we see it as it is. They've done the studies that comes from back in the 1980s. We think we see it as it is until someone shows us. Just turn your head a little bit. You're like, oh, I didn't see that. Oh, yeah. Thank you. Well done, guys. Yeah, leave it there. So this is often what we do not see if we don't open our minds and we open our hearts. We also have a thing called confirmation bias. You guys know what that is. It's the tendency to interpret new evidence as confirmation of one's existing beliefs or theories. Now, your whole life, you've been built up by your parents, by school, prior Bible teaching perhaps. You went to Bible school, church, everything. And each of those moments, education, Bible studies, the way you read it, your favorite YouTuber, it's a little brick that's in your wall. So if I come this morning and I say, guys, you actually need one another, and you've never believed that. Now, I'm taking out a little brick out of your wall. But you know what your brain wants to do? He would just want to put that brick back because it's so uncomfortable. Because now I'm feeling, hey, what's going on here? Now I need to start to listen to the guy, that annoying guy in my comm. Like, no, wait, just put it back. So just as we are speaking today, just allow the Lord to go like, okay, it's fine to be uncomfortable a little bit. I want to see you, Lord. So ask the Lord, Lord, I don't want confirmation of my beliefs. I want transformation by your truth. Even like right now, like, Lord, I want transformation. I want the renewal of my mind. I don't want my preconceived grit in the way, the lens that I look through. I want it out the way. I want to see the fullness of you. We can take that off. Thanks. Thanks. Kim, you're doing amazing. Yes, guys. In Luke 18, verse 31 to 34, we see Jesus teaching his 12 disciples, the apostles. Now, Jesus here, he's predicting his death. Now, this is not the first time he's tried to explain this to the disciples. Now, if you guys can imagine that if the disciples didn't manage to hear the Lord, we will also probably not hear the Lord properly sometimes. I mean, like, Nick might say something, I might miss it because I've got pre-existing beliefs. So listen to this. This is actually very simple. Verse 31. So taking the 12 disciples aside, Jesus said, listen, we're going up to Jerusalem, where all the predictions of the prophets concerning the Son of Man will come true. He will be handed over to the Romans. He will be mocked, treated shamefully, and spit upon. They will flog him with a whip and kill him, but on the third day, he will rise again. But they didn't understand any of this. The significance of his words was hidden from them, and they failed to grasp what he was talking about. This is literally the Thatcher effect. This is like the confirmation bias. The problem is these guys have been taught that the Messiah is going to come, and he's going to overthrow the Romans. This is what they've been taught. So now this guy, who they thought were the Messiah, up till that point, saying, no, we're going to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to get whipped. I'm going to get spat upon. I'm going to get mocked. And I'm going to be killed. Peter literally looks over to John and goes like, no, it can't be. We're like, they literally just don't believe him. So the problem is, we've got this thing in us that we actually don't want to believe what we do not want to believe. I'm going to say it again. We've got a problem is that we don't want to believe that which we don't want to believe. So being teachable means we receive God's word with eagerness. We aim to see it for ourselves. We want to see it for ourselves. Amen. And then, listen to this. 2 Timothy 2 verse 2, Paul writes to Timothy. And this is probably the verse on which we've built over in Just Ten over the last 26 years. Is Paul writes to Timothy and he says, and the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust, he says, what must you do with that? Entrust that to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others, who are able to pass it on. So the point of teaching is that James goes, he takes it further. Gerald, he takes it further. Candace, you take it further. It's not just, no, it stops there. I'm happy. I'm fit. No. I'm taking the teachings that I've received from Paul. So we don't teach our own teachings. We've received that through Paul, Timothy. Timothy has passed it on. They've been passing these teachings on through the last 2,000 years. And now we are sitting here and we still aiming to pass that on to the next guy. Does that make you exciting? We're not trying to, guys, if it's new, it's probably heresy. We often get too excited. We open YouTube or I don't know what you guys open. I don't know. What do you guys open? I'd say YouTube. And you get excited. New teaching. Stick to the... And we're going to get this. So, second thing is we want to do is we want to trust God. And the last thing is we want to be biblical. I'm going to pull these two together. Actually, Andrew Selly recently in America, he said to the guys, you know, asking you to trust us as leaders, that's a big ask. And when he said it, I was like, wow, that's humble. You know, when we ask, but we want to ask you to trust God. Trust God. Trust God with all your heart. Trust him in the journey. Trust him every day. Trust him. Trust him in that guy and come. Trust God in the guy that's rubbing you off. Trust God in Nick. Come on. Trust God in and we love you, Nick. Trust God in full. Trust God in one another. Trust God. He is faithful. He's the author of our faith. He's the finisher of the faith. He's the one who was. He's the one who is. He's the one who will be. He's the one that we're going to stand before one day. So we want to trust him. He's the one who gave us life. He is the way. He's the truth. He is the life. He is our all in all. His grace is sufficient. His mercies are new every morning. We can trust him. We can trust him. One of Jesus' teachings, listen to this, Matthew 16, 25. If you try to hang on to your life, Matthew 16, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will find it. You will save it. Like there was a word this morning now about the crushing. John 12, verse 24 says, I tell you the truth. This is Jesus speaking. Unless a kernel of wheat is planted in the soil and dies, it remains alone. But its death will produce many new kernels, a plentiful harvest. The way of the kingdom, the way of Jesus, is death. And to life. We die to ourselves to see the life of Christ manifest in our marriages, in our friendships, dying to ourselves. If you're struggling currently with something, you're probably busy dying. That's good news, by the way. That's what Jesus is actually trying to tell us. He's like, the death will bring the life. So every time you feel like crushed, it's for the sake of life coming through. Who's excited? Yes, come on. So let your seed die. Some of us are hoping for promotion in life. Some of us are maybe hoping for promotion in terms of ministry. I want to remind us that Psalm says promotion doesn't come from the east or the west. That's right, eh? East, west. But it comes from the Lord. He brings some down, He lifts some other up. Sometimes we look at the pastor and we go like, can't you just see how gifted I am? How anointed I am? Man of God. Man of God. Can't I just be a comm leader? Can't I be this or that? No, no, no. Trust God. It's not the elder's job to make you, put you in position. God is the one who lifts some up and who brings some down. Sometimes we need a bit of crushing. Rejoice in it. Receive that crushing. If He lifts you up, smell the perfume, don't drink it. Like Will Murray always said. Don't drink it. Because maybe next year you're not there. And in all of this, we want to stick to the Bible. We want to stick to biblical truth. They have devoted themselves, Acts 2:42, to the apostolic teaching. And like Paul said to Timothy, I want to teach these things, but I want us to teach these things to reliable men who could then take it further. So I want to encourage us, be aware of winds of doctrine sweeping the earth. Every now and then you like, everyone is going to get healed. And those who, like, you hear these teachings sweeping the earth. Then it's like this, it's like a, what do you call it when it's a fad or a trend. It's like then someone in America teaches everyone is going to be healed. And some of us here are struggling with that teaching. But not even Jesus healed everyone. Then we go like, yeah, we all must have our best life right now. But no. We want Jesus right now. As simple as that. We say, Lord, whatever you want. We want to stick to the Bible, what the Bible teaches us on church, on leadership, on discipleship, on forgiveness, on sin, repentance, everything. And one of the best ways to do this is get stuck in to the daily lives of church. You know that we can't see you if you're not there. Your leaders can't grow you if they don't know you. Your leaders can't grow you if they don't know you. And their job is to grow you. Your leader's job is to take you from here to there. So get into your leaders' lives. Get into come, take part, serve, give. Ask them, what do you see in my life? And if you haven't done that in a while, and it's a little bit awkward, and James comes to me, and he's like, boo, like, speak to me. And then it's wonderful. So I want to end with this morning. Like, as we go from here to there, we want to one day stand before the Lord, and He's going to say, well done. But today we need to stay teachable. We want to stay in the truth of God. Bringing the good, the bad, and the ugly, guys. And in everything we want to trust God. Amen. So can we stand? And I just want to remind us again, like, we can't do this without Him. We can't do this. It's not our plan. It's not our strength. It's not our effort. Even though we strive day after day to reach the end, it's not our power. That's a relief, guys. You can, like, praise God. Imagine we had to do this on our own, in our own strength. So I want to actually ask us if we can't just take a couple of moments. Just search our hearts. You know, search our hearts and say, Lord, is there any lens in me that's in the way of me giving my everything to you, to run hard with those around me, to give myself, to devote myself to church, actually, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, to prayer, to apostolic teaching, to devote myself day after day. If there's, any lens in me, any confirmation, any bias, any bend I have, I want, Lord, is there anything in me? Is there anything in me, Lord, that doesn't want to die, that needs to die today, that I need to put in the ground? And I just want to say that seed that we put in the ground, that good soil, really is healthy church. It's the church. You put it in there, and then that seed starts to multiply, and then my gift and your gift is not your own anymore, but it multiplies unto the people around us. Your ability to serve literally multiplies. Your ability to administrate, to teach, to worship, it reaches those around us. But I also want to give an opportunity this morning. Oh, Lord. If someone needs to make right with the Lord. You know, one day we're going to meet Jesus. And I want to make sure, if there's someone here who say, I actually want to make sure that I'm ready for that day. I need to make right with the Lord. I need to give my heart to the Lord. I want to make Jesus not only the one who I believe in, maybe, or think about. I want Jesus to be the Lord of my life. I want to be the one who I walk with day by day. I want Him to be the Savior of my soul. It might be your first time today. It might be, actually, I need to come back to the Lord. I want to make a recommitment. But just where you are, if you want to say, I want to make right with the Lord, I want to give my life to the Lord, I want to be sure that on that day that the Lord says to me also, come in, welcome, well done. And if that's you, I want you just humbly but also boldly confess Jesus before man and just put up your hand and say, here I am today, Lord. I want to give my life to you, Jesus. Thank you. I see the hand. Just keep it up. Keep it up. Say, Lord, just as a confession, I want to confess you before man. If there's anyone else who need to make right with the Lord today, rest of us, we can just keep connecting with the Lord, pray, say, Lord, here I am.